Welcome to episode 186 of the Better With Running podcast. My name's Chris Armstrong. I'm a Run to PB coach, and joining me on this special Friday night edition, I mean, it feels special, Zacha. I don't know if it's we're always going to record on a Friday, but here we are. Mate, how you doing? Welcome. Big show planned. Yeah. How are you doing?
Well, mate. I know we had a few messages as to what had happened.
Where are we? Have we gone missing?
Gone rogue, gone off the Greek. Rid, but good to be back, mate. Good to see you on a Friday night. And got a big episode, mate. We've been able to jag a couple of big guests. Obviously, one of them had a pretty free schedule because I was able to tee it up pretty quickly. And looking forward to chatting to him.
You've pulled a few strings, Zach. I'm not sure what favours you had to call in, but probably definitely our biggest guest of the year, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, well, let's bring him in. It's Run to BB coach, 210 marathoner, Andy Buchanan. Welcome to the show, mate.
Hey, gents. Thank you. That's probably one of my better intros I've ever had. So thank you for that. Just showing that I don't really do much on my Friday nights. So it'll be good. I haven't spoken to you guys for yonks. I think we caught up when I was in St. Moritz, maybe before Com Games.
Yeah, far
and
out.
I reckon that might be the last time. So it's
Well, we've been speaking to your management, but it's hard to get through these days now that you're a big dog.
You're in demand.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I suppose it's not sure what to say there. I've got nothing to say, so I'll let that one go through to the keeper.
I know we're having a bit of a joke about that stuff about, you know, being big dog and all the rest of it, but like your 2023, it kind of had a bit of momentum, and then obviously many people follow your Strava, follow you on you were doing a series on FTK. You were, you know, getting yourself out there, talking about your training, and then things went a little bit off the rails. And yeah, like people want to talk to you when you're running well, and then you kind of had a bit of a downtime, a bit of an injury. How did you go with all that?
Yeah.
Because running's a big part of your life.
It is a big part of my life. Looking back now, I can say it wasn't that bad. But in the moment, it was terrible. I hated it, especially I was on a Road to Paris podcast with FTK, and I used to dread the day before, knowing I had to do this podcast and knowing I had a stress reaction, knowing I wasn't doing Fukuoka, all that stuff. But I actually got on there and I actually really loved it once I was on there. And I think it was good. Like, I was still going to the training sessions here in Bendigo and surrounding myself with the normal people I do. And I think that was in the moment, I hated the idea of it. But once I was actually afterwards, I was like, yeah, that was good. That I kind of kept my routine. And it was funny. I was thinking towards the end of last year, like this year's been a bit of a nothing year. And whereas I ran 210 in April, finished 33rd, or I'm not sure what, at World Cross in Bathurst, which was the most insane day of my life. So it's funny how quickly we can forget that stuff and you can think it's all doom and gloom. So yeah, it was an interesting year. I think a year that I'll be better for it. And I'm feeling really good now, and yeah, had a nice little break and feeling pretty refreshed. So yeah, it was a bit different, but I definitely didn't check Strava as much. I'm not sure. You can probably ask Chris if, I don't know if my coaching was as good as when I'm running, because I was probably a bit like, I think I was a little bit checked out on running, but I did have a bit more time for my athletes, but I wasn't on Strava and all that stuff. So I'm not sure if it improved my coaching or made it worse.
Going to say, I try not to hassle you at the best of times because I know how busy you are and you don't need my nonsense in your life. So, but no, like I say, some of the work we did over the summer until things fell to shit in February, I felt like I was as fit as I'd been in a long time. So, yeah, and no, I think things were going really well. And then my body just felt a bit. But, mate, I'm really keen to hear for you, that bit of downtime that you had, I guess, coming into Christmas, has that renewed the hunger to absolute peak levels now that things are up and about and you've just had that little bit of time away?
Yeah, a little bit. I don't know. I really hated that it was a shit time of the year to get injured, because I normally walk out of school on the last day of term going, I love my life. Like, I've got 6 weeks to train. This is great. It's summer holidays. Like, I'm the happiest person in the world. Well, I was actually walking out of there like, oh, what am I going to do for the next 6 weeks? It was a bit doom and gloom, but I am feeling refreshed, and you learn little things through these injuries. You get better at, like, you can probably see there's an elliptical machine in this room that I'm in. So I'm doing things differently now. And I think, yeah, I am refreshed, but I've probably learned a few lessons along the way. And that's probably the biggest thing that I'm looking at as a positive now.
Anything that you've sort of started to implement now, sort of in this next phase, mate?
Yeah. So we're just structuring things a little bit differently. I probably just went with the let's just whack every week out of the park kind of thing in terms of mileage and just keep adding to that. And whereas now it's because, like, me and my coach, Scott, we have a really good relationship, but I'm the type of person that if he says, oh, do 5 or 6 reps, I'll do 6 every day of the week. And he's probably just tightened the leash on me a little bit, and we have a bit more of a plan around weeks now and it typically follows a three week build, 1 week kind of just cut the K's back a little bit. So at the moment it's kind of like 140, 150, 150, then down to like 120, say. So just getting a little bit more better at, we're probably just a bit better at that. I used to do it with races, but races don't fall every month perfectly every month. So sometimes you'd have a shorter build and then you'd have a longer one that drags out to 6 weeks. And like, oh, but I've got this race coming, so I'll just keep going until then. So we're just changing things up a little bit there. I'm doing a few more like doubles on the elliptical. I accidentally left one on Strava and yeah, it got about 100 kudoses, and I was like, oh shit, I didn't mean for this to go up. I'm a bit of
I think they call him.
Yeah, and Izzy, I was chatting to Izzy Bat Doyle about which elliptical to get, because she's like the queen of ellipticals.
Yeah.
And she got very excited, and I think she thought that was my first one ever. And I was like, no, I've been doing it like 4 times a week for the last like 8 weeks. But yeah, just small little changes like that. I'm really, really focusing on my weight at the moment, just to make sure I'm staying above 60 kilos. That's a big thing for me.
So how are you doing that? Are you tracking everything you eat?
I go through phases where, like, I've worked with Jess Rothwell in the past, and I have tracked, and I kind of know if I eat this amount, this is what the outcome is. So I kind of know that, and it's like I go through a carb load every day for lunch. Yeah. Like, my lunches are massive, and I'm not a big eater. And
yeah,
so I struggle with it, but I'm really consciously trying to have food more often. Like, if I'm like, oh, should I eat? I'm like, yes, eat kind of thing. But I get a bit lazy with it. Like, I just wish I could like sit there and have like a UV drop that just goes in that's food. And so yeah, just a few little changes like that they don't sound groundbreaking, but you get into a rhythm and everything works. And you're like, you keep doing that over and over and over. And it's until you hit a roadblock that you kind of stand back and go, oh, of course this was going to happen. Why were we doing this? So it's, I feel good.
You've been pretty robust for a while. Like, this was your first long-term injury, would you say?
Yeah, well, yes and no. I had a stress reaction in the same femur, actually. Very similar spot.
Oh, yeah.
Gold Coast, when Gold Coast got cancelled.
Yep. But
that was pure, well, in my opinion, it was because we did the build-up for Gold Coast, didn't have the race, and I was like, I feel fine. And then we started building for Melbourne, and I was like, hang on, no, the marathon's hard because of, one, the race, but two, the training you do before it. So we just got a bit greedy there. So it's my second kind of injury that's lasted probably more than a week, I'd say. So it's, yeah.
Just going back to your lunch, mate, what's an A-plus lunch to try and maintain the weight? Like, if we're nailing it, what's it look like for you?
A-plus in terms of
just quantity.
Food, quantity,
what are we eating and volumes?
So I go for efficiency. Yeah. I don't go for taste. I've got a really good system where I will cook rice I do this twice a week. So I have it for 3 days and 2 days. Yep. So meal prep. So it's rice, it's tuna. And there's actually, you can buy this tuna that's like enriched tuna. So it's high in calcium and protein. So I have tuna, I have tinned corn,
yep,
and then I have vegan mayonnaise because I'm lactose intolerant. So it's like I have that literally Monday through to Friday. It's not great. All my workmates hate me because I'm that one person in the office with tuna. But it actually ticks. Like the tuna is amazing. It actually has nearly as much protein as my protein shake.
Wow.
You got a discount code here, mate?
John West, if anyone knows anyone, hit me up, because that stuff's actually, it's about twice as expensive as normal tuna. But I'm like, hey, this is a good investment. But I need to go off it for the next few weeks, because I've been eating rice so much, I'm kind of sick of it. And that's not a good way to start when you have to do the carb load of a marathon build. So I just need to ease off it. I've got this other one that I have that's like it's like a Turkish bread kind of Helga's sandwich thing. And I cook up a heap of chicken schnitzels and have that with like lettuce, vegan cheese, some avo, and that hits the spot really well. It actually gets all, when I go over to the toaster machine at school, I always walk back with it, and all the kids are like, oh, what's that? And I'm like, yeah, I've won lunch today. So that one's,
you might have
that
a cooking channel going here, like Christian Petrarca or something.
Yeah, well, actually, one of my, you'd know Matt the Mad Snake Buckle, shout out to his little, he's got an Instagram called 44 Cents. He's definitely worth a follow. He is a very, very good cook.
Okay.
So yeah, give that a follow on Instagram, 44 Cents.
So, mate, can you see the John West venturing into sort of those specialty running shops, perhaps, maybe, is that sort of elite pro food?
It could just be, actually.
Something on the shelves next to the Morton.
Next to the Morton, because it's such an easy staple food to have in that rice. And rice is like, people, like runners, I feel like they consume so much rice. So it's, I really like it. It's a bit of a shame because my favorite tuna flavor is sweet corn mayonnaise, but I can't have the mayonnaise in it. And that's my go-to. Whereas this one's just, I think it's just an olive oil blend. So the taste is okay. It could get better. So John West could maybe look to improve that a little bit, but maybe it could be in the running stores everywhere soon.
Well, that's a good little segue there, Chriso, because I know you did mention you had a bit of downtime with your injury, and could be something in the works, mate. Are you able to share some news?
Yeah. So
this is teasers going out on Instagram.
Yeah. Did you like that?
Did, yes. I think there was a few screenshots going around going, what's Andy up to? Has he started his own coaching business? Is he undercutting you? Like, do you know about this?
I heard about that. But no, don't worry. I'm actually just going out on this platform just to announce I'm creating my own coaching business. So I'm in the process of opening myself and two others. So Luke Millard, who is a Run to PB athlete, and Pat Smith, who probably holds the record for the shortest. He did sign up. He's still on the books. I think he got a week and a half in, and then he had to have back surgery. It wasn't anything to do with my coaching, but I think he actually holds the record for the shortest little stint so far. So the three of us are opening a running store in Bendigo. It is called Verve Running. So I really hope that you've seen some stuff on Instagram. We've been doing a bit of stuff there. So this has been in the works for probably 2 years. I reckon I caught up with Pat. He's a podiatrist from Castlemaine. I caught up with him about Run the Main, which is a small little fun run in Castlemaine. And he was keen for some of the bats to come and do it. And we're kind of talking about how we could make that work. And we got talking about how there's no running store in Bendigo. And we just thought it was like, how is this a thing? And he said, oh, it's funny you say that. I've been wanting to open one for a while, but he just didn't have the, you know, like small towns, like Chris, you'd understand it. They're pretty clicky. Mm. Like if you need to know, like if you're not known, you're not known at all. And people are like, oh, who's this person? Like this blowing, like it's, they get real funny like that. So he's like, oh, I don't have a presence here. And then I just thought, oh yeah, this won't progress anywhere. Then we kind of got chatting about it. And then yeah, Luke, he's an accountant. So we got him on board. And now all of a sudden we have a shop and we're opening late March. So it's yeah,
Yeah,
really
well,
kind of taken
up around
off.
quick, yeah. Just in time for winter, and you have the Bendigo bats down there, no doubt.
Yeah, we're already planning the bat trick premiership after party, actually. So clear the calendar for the tans after that. Zach, I reckon you could come up and join the bus and have a few beers. Chris, I will definitely be there.
Sounds good. Hey, mate, we're conscious of time on a Friday night. There was a few things we wanted to just cover. Back to your running at the moment. So you mentioned maybe starting to carb load, do a little bit more. So marathon in the works. Have we made an official? Has there been an official announcement? I don't know if I've seen anything come out. I know there's been a lot of running.
No official announcement. I what do they call it, a soft launch these days. I did put something out on my Instagram. I don't enjoy doing that, but I think it's you've got to do it. If you like, we talk about how, oh, there's not enough media in running, and oh, they don't earn the money they should, but you kind of need to put yourself out there to do that. So I put a thing up saying I'm looking forward to hitting the streets of Hamburg again. So I am doing Hamburg Marathon. I think some runners like oversell it, and it's like, it's not a secret. Like, why are you making this a secret? Like, it's you're not Kipchoge. So I was happy to put that out there a few months ago, but it's yeah. So I'll do that, which is, I think it's about 5 weeks away. It's the 28th of April. So
Same
the
week
same
as
week as Ballarat, exactly. So I'll do that. It's a bit of a happy hunting ground for me. I know exactly what to expect. I'll head over to Tennington for a few weeks before. It's school holidays just before, so it kind of works perfectly for me. So it's the last, I think it's the last weekend. It's very close to the last weekend of qualification, so.
Yeah, and on that, how do you obviously mean keeping an eye on things, seeing obviously the women has been super, well, from a spectator standpoint, it's been pretty exciting. Probably not exciting if you're a bit more nerve-wracking if you're in the mix, but as a guy trying to have a crack at this spot, what does that mean for you? And how does, like, it's an aggressive time, I guess, to chase.
Yeah, it's funny, like a while ago, probably just after I ran 210, so nearly a year ago, I was like, oh yeah, I'll do another marathon that's around maybe 209:30. They'll get me some good points and I'll get in 3 points. And I was like, yep, that's a great plan. That's gonna work. And like, everyone has just ran so fast that I'm so far off with that plan. Like, I couldn't believe it. Like, Liam's on the cusp nearly, and he's ran 208:40. So it's like, and that was in a race where he got so many extra points as well. So it's essentially, I like it because it's simple. Like, if I go out and run 208:09, or I don't know if it's actually, oh, I don't know if it's 10 or 11. I think you have to run under 208:10. So if I run under that, I'm in. But then if Liam finishes ahead of me, obviously I'm not in. But it's I like it how it's very clear and all that. Like, it's, I feel for the selectors in terms of the female with like Lisa and Izzy, and then like what happens if someone runs in between their time. They've kind of shown form recently. So I definitely feel for those ladies, but I think it's pretty exciting for our sport. So yeah, I know that that's the time I have to run, but I'm not going to go over there and just go hell bent going for that time, because I just don't think that has a good result. And my last two races there, I've had a good pack, and I actually haven't thought and done the maths and gone, that's what this is going to get me. I've just thought, yeah, I've done that pacing training, so I can do that kind of thing, and the results come. So I think, and we've seen it a little bit lately where people have just purely gone and chased, and they haven't actually like raced the marathon. So like, if I go over there and I run a minute PB and I run 209:20, I'll be stoked. Like, I'll be through the moon. Like, you've known me for a while, Zaka, and you've probably never heard me say, yeah, I can't wait to go to the Olympics, or like, the Olympics is my big goal. Like, it's, it's just been, it's something that's kind of come about the last few years. And I never thought I was, I'd be anywhere. Like, I never thought people would say my name in the Olympics in the same sentence, unless it was, this guy's definitely not going to the Olympics. So it's, yeah, I don't know. I'll just go over there and have a good run. And like, I'd be lying if I said I've got one eye on that time. And sometimes when I'm out running, yeah,
that's fine, Dab. I mean, that's that's sport, you know, that's the sport you're in. You're at the top level. You've got to have that eye on it. And if it doesn't come off, look, like everyone else, you get back up and you look forward and you see what else is, other opportunities. You've got still a big career ahead of you. Like, it's, you're still on the, like, it's still ahead. There's still times ahead. Yeah. I was going to ask you, Liam racing Hamburg as well.
He's entered. So
yeah,
I actually had a look for the first time. I haven't looked on the rankings for probably, honestly, since probably pre-November. And yeah, he's actually, he's got a bit of wiggle room. I think he's 69th and there's 80.
Yeah, yeah.
And
so London, I think, come as well, haven't you?
Yeah, but you've got to have 11 guys that aren't from Africa, like Kenya, Ethiopia, like, and there's there's a lot of countries there, like Japan. So it's, I actually think he's nearly, I think he's nearly in.
Yeah. So maybe he's going to sit and wait. Well, I guess he could still run it and he'll get in anyway.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if I don't see him over there, especially now that he's put his hat in for World Cross.
Yeah.
But then again, World Cross gets you across there for free. So it's kind of like, does that mean that he will he'll stay over there and start and then pull out if he doesn't need to keep going. I don't know. It's Liam, so who knows?
It's Liam, yeah, exactly. Like, you know, he's likely to do anything. I mean, he's backed up before. I remember in BWA, I was with him and he went, like, he pulled out and then he must have gone again in like 4 weeks later or something. So he can't do that this year around. But yeah.
Yeah, I hope he does race, because I think it'd be exciting for me and I'd look forward to that. And like, I've done these races where I'm like, I've got no idea who these people are. I'm running through a city that I literally have no, like, if for some reason had to stop and had to find my way back to somewhere, I'd be so lost. Like, I have no idea where I am.
Yeah, yeah.
No one speaks English. Like, it's a bizarre feeling. So it'd actually be quite good. And I think there is, it's not announced yet, so I won't say who, but there is someone else running that is Australian. So that'll be good to have. Well, there's two others actually. So we're gonna have an Australian table at the dinner table, which is good, because normally I'm sitting
good
there.
Though, and all the camaraderie with the marathoners, like, everyone is good mates. And yeah, when you get toe the line, it's game on. But it's good to do a shakeout run or just see people, a familiar face. So that sounds good.
Yeah, 100%. It'll be good.
Chris, before we let him go, it could be a race on the cards this weekend, Andy. Is that
yes,
Chris?
Yeah, it's maybe a bit of a charity run down in Melbourne, mate.
Yeah, I'm surprised you guys know about this.
Mate, we got our ears on the ground.
I'm trying to think who I've told. I actually keep forgetting. Someone asked me today. They said, "Oh, how far is it?" And I said, "Oh, it's either 14 or 15K. Yeah, I don't know.
Like, somewhere between 14 and 15. And I reckon it changes every year based on little things they move around. But
yeah. So I think it's 14.4K. No, I haven't. I got second to Liam.
Yeah,
a few years ago, I think. So run for the kids, for those listeners that were sitting on the edge of their chairs wondering what what fun run we're talking about. So yeah, I'll do that. It's just, I really like racing a lot, and that's why I do XCR and all that stuff. I think it, for me personally, it really builds me up, and it's, I don't hit those levels in training. So I like doing races. And honestly, I did a fun run in Bendigo the other week, and I couldn't care what time I ran, as long as it was hard, as long as I got some hard running in. That's all I wanted. And that's kind of what I want again here. I mean, I'd be lying if I said I don't want to win, because it's like $3,500 travel vouchers. So that'll be handy.
Yeah.
But I might upgrade to business on the way home from London when I come home, if that's the case. But
Pop the champagne, mate, if you're coming back.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, no, running this weekend, it'll be good fun. I never think about doing it because it's such a funny time of the year where I'm normally, it's getting to the pointy end of track. Like you're doing these Box Hill 5K, 3K races. XCR is like a little bit away and it's just, yeah, whereas this year it's kind of worked well. And Scotty, my coach, was like, oh, you should do Run for the Kids. And I'm like, well, is that soon? When is it? And he goes, yeah, I think it's a few weeks away. And I was like, oh, okay. And then luckily I just entered in time and I was like, how do I get an elite start? And I'm looking on the website. I can't find anything. This is like a week ago. Yeah. And I was like, oh, what do I do here? So I get the phone out and I text Mona and I'm like, Mona, I'm doing Run for the Kids. What do I need to do? And he goes, oh, enter. And I said, yeah, I'm happy to enter. Like, I'm not looking for a free entry. They raise money for the children's hospital. I'm happy to enter. And he goes, yeah, good, do that. And then I'll get them to send the elite entry thing with it. So thankfully that came through. So thanks for the hookup there, Mona. But I was like, when I signed up originally, it said, you haven't qualified for the first wave. You're in the second wave that starts at 8:15. And I'm like,
yeah, yeah. Oh, shit. Second wave.
Look, that could add to the challenge, but you'd still be a chance at winning.
Yeah. I don't know. I think there's so many good runners in Bendigo. And when there is good runners in Bendigo. There's even better runners in Melbourne. And when there's a good prize, they're always going to come out. So there'll be some good runners there. Like it won't be a walk in the park, which I'm looking forward to. So.
Sign of the times though, with events and how fast they go, because I was running with Reese tonight and he's like, oh, I actually thought about doing Run for the Kids, went to enter, sold out, it was done, like couldn't get it. And, you know, we're seeing this boom, which is, it's exciting, like that, you know, these events are selling out and even elites are like going, shit, I actually have to like sort myself out here a bit earlier.
Yeah, it is exciting, but it's also a bit annoying because we're so used, like I was talking to Johnny today actually, and we're talking about Gold Coast and we want to do the half, but it's sold out and it's like, oh, like it's just one thing that we're not used to. So it's it is good, but a bit frustrating at times.
Sorry, Chris, I cut you off, mate.
No, that's all right. I was gonna say, while we've got Andy, because we might not get him on for a little bit, but mate, quick thoughts on going to Hanging Rock for XCR. What do you reckon?
I'm down for it because it's closer to us, so we're
exactly.
Yeah, we're coming out pretty well on this because we've got a lot of races close to us. Hey, AV obviously know who the main people are in XCR. It's none of these big Melbourne clubs that rarely go half an hour from their house. So I think it's good, but it actually, and Zach, you know this more than us, I think a lot of people like those races that are a bit further because they make a weekend of it, which they never used to pre-COVID. They like getting out of the city. So I think it's good. I have no idea what the course is going to be like. I've been to Hanging Rock a few times and I've got no idea of how that's going to work, but I really like it. Although in saying that, I did like Cruden. So it would be sad to see that go because that was very cross-country like. What are you boys' thoughts on it?
As I'm getting older and less mobile, cross country is getting a lot harder for me. So I need slightly downhill road for my body. But Chris, I loves it. I know he gets around the cross country pretty well.
No, I do enjoy it, and it certainly piqued the interest of the runners club here in Shepmate. They want to take a bus to Hanging Rock and to Bendigo this year, off the back of how much fun they had at Bendigo last year. So. Yeah,
perfect.
They asked me what the course would be like. I'm like, hey, look, I have no idea. Like, my concern was because normally the races, I guess, progress in distance a little bit on the grass till you get back to Bundoora, that perhaps we might do three loops at Bendigo this year with it being a bit later.
Well, I haven't heard of this. And I know the first year we had it, they did say, yeah, well, we're thinking about doing the 16K here, but we think the course is a bit too hard.
Well, so, I think 12 would nearly kill people, but I'm down for it.
I think people would be stopping in for a wine on the start of the lap if it was three laps. That'd be very hard. But no, I'm very keen for Bendigo. I think it's I find it a great round, and I think it's something a bit different, and it'd be cool to try and get a big crew at the pub again. But it's funny, speaking of Bendigo, Zaka, on my phone today, you know how you get those Facebook memories pop up?
Yes.
I hope you got the same one, but I had one. You have a memory with Zaka Newman 13 years ago, and there is a photo of Zaka. This may be the last time he was actually in the Bendigo CBD. He come up to the
Oh, I
Bendigo,
know the one you're talking about.
yeah, the Bendigo Madison. Because Chris, I actually met Zaka. I can't imagine it. And I still can't believe it. But I met him through the pro circuit, so the VAL. So Zaka used to be a little pro runner back in his day, which is very funny. But so Zach has come up. He's come up to the Madison, which is, it's a pretty big weekend. It's a big crowd. There's a really big cycling race. It's a good night. I really love it. And Zach has come up and he's had a run, and then he's in the crowd. He's enjoying some local Bendigo natives, and there's the bloke who has the biggest rat tail in the world, and Zach has taken a photo of it. And then he's putting something smart about the Bendigo locals, just the normal crowd. And then he's actually tagged Dave McNeil as well, because I think Dave had a little rat's tail back then. So that
I'm
was a
too
memory
scared to share and
firsthand.
reshare that because we've got a lot of Bendigo athletes we're good friends with, and Dave McNeil's a good so yeah, that is a classic memory, mate.
Yeah, I'm
Good
surprised
time
you
to
could.
end it there, I reckon, before we go down the rabbit hole and more stories from back in the day.
This is premium content. I think we've got some more time, haven't we, Zacho?
Good stuff.
Do you remember who won the race? Do you remember who won the race that night, Zacho?
Oh, it might have been you.
It was me. Yeah,
Yeah,
I'm glad you remember the most important part. I
I don't
actually,
think you
I'm
bought a beer that night as well.
no, and I'm pretty sure Brady was in that race, and him and his little Bendigo trio of pro runners that took it very serious. They were very
Yes.
annoyed that we had a
Dodging
bit
old
of
Cody.
we yeah we had a bit of a rivalry, and they used to get very fired up because they loved the, as you know, they loved the
Oh, Brady's still
pro
talking about
race.
Saul at the moment, that herb.
Yeah. So it was a good night that night, actually.
Good fun. Love it. But great to catch up, mate. Great to hear about your running. Excited to see what you're going to do over in Hamburg. And we appreciate you, as always, jumping on, giving us a bit of your time.
No, that's all right. Hopefully the next invitation isn't, yeah, a year away.
Get you on, mate, for a recap. All right. Have a good night,
Perfect. Thanks, guys.
mate.
See ya.
Joining us this week on the Better With Running podcast, we've got a Team Run to BB athlete interview. It's Jamie Stanley Hunt. He signed up in Jan 2024. He elected Brady to coach him. He's a fan of the Inside Running podcast. So wanted the big dog on there to help him with his running. He's actually recently, just over the week, a couple of weeks back, he completed the treble at Port Mac Running Festival, running a half, a 5K, and a 10K all in the one morning. So we'll chat about that. He's only been running for a bit less than, I think it's about 3 years. We'll dig into those details. And he's run an 18, 41, 5, 39, 43, 10. He's sub 90 minutes over the half, and he's preparing for the Sydney Marathon this year. Welcome to the show, Jamie.
Thanks, boys. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you
Mate,
on, mate. Thank you.
the fact that you're here giving up your Friday night, did you hesitate? Go, hang on, I've got plans, or was this you're like, oh wow, this is gonna be a super Friday. Now I got to hang out with the boys and talk about running.
I just got the permission from the wife, mate, and yeah, all things are blazing.
That's all right. Did anyone at work say like what's on for the weekend? Like, oh, actually I'm going to spend my Friday night on a podcast, or and they sort of go like, you're what?
Yeah, I let it slip this afternoon. I said I won't be worries. I'm going to be a social media superstar shortly.
Mate, without a shadow of a doubt, you're a made man once this hits the airwaves, that's for sure.
That's it. That's the goal.
Hey, Jamie, how did you get started in running? Like, I'm just having a bit of a quick glimpse here at your sign up form. I'm seeing some notes here. You haven't been running a long time. So
No,
sort of
no.
around sort of 3 years, but how did you get started, and what is it that you love about it?
Yeah, so I guess it's like a lot of people, COVID hit and it was something to kind of fill the time. But In 2020, I had my first child, and prior to that, I was doing some kickboxing, and it was just kind of bit time consuming, and the times of the sessions and stuff didn't align with kind of a new dad. So yeah, I found running after kind of doing some training with Muay Thai and kickboxing.
So, how serious were you into the kickboxing Muay Thai? Were you doing, like, are we talking 5 days a week type sort of setup or actual fights?
Yeah, so I never got in the ring. I've done a few kind of pre-blocks for a fight, but yeah, injury kind of set me back, which I've learned that in running as well. But yeah, just it was 5 6 days a week. It started with it kind of kicked off with my fitness journey. I was quite a big boy back in the day, through my childhood, and yeah, kickboxing kind of it dropped the weight pretty fast because it was if you gas out and you can't protect yourself, you get hit, and you get hit a lot. So it was a very big incentive to get fit and to improve that fitness level. And then the transition from that to running was fairly I guess just substantial with COVID and being a dad. Yeah, it was a nice transition. So
Mate, was there, I know sort of COVID was kind of around when it happened, but was there a catalyst or was there something that sort of struck you that you sort of decided you needed to get into more regular exercise?
Well, prior to COVID, I was doing kickboxing, and then obviously everything shut down and bits and pieces. It was hard to kind of get out the door, but I found running because it's accessible. You can whack on a pair of shoes and get out the door. Definitely didn't see myself as a runner. Didn't follow the sport at all. Like I said before, I was quite a big boy when I was growing up. So running was definitely it was. A pet hate of mine, let alone, a hobby and a what it's grown to today.
I imagine it's also quite a deal more relaxing running and feeling the fatigue in that without the threat of being kicked in the face.
Definitely, yeah, definitely. Hurts just as much though. Like,
In a different way. And
yeah, I think I get injured. Well, I wouldn't say injured, but like the DOMS and stuff.
do you
Very.
mind, I was gonna say, do you mind me asking some of the injuries that you did pick up in your time kickboxing?
Oh, the odd, black eye and the bruised shins and stuff. That's pretty common. You get used to it. You get conditioned like in running. So, although your muscles, more so in running, your shins and your elbows and the bumps and bruises, you become conditioned to that. But yeah, I had a few issues with shoulders and elbows that kind of set me back, and pretty much, I got to the stage where I was like, I'm a bit getting a bit on to have my first fight when I'm nearing my 30s. So I chose to give it away before I got started, pretty much.
Hey mate, when you started running, getting the momentum, get some K's in, how were you structuring your running? Like, were you just going out running around the block as hard as you can, sort of thing, or were you going on the internet looking at programs, trying to work out what you were doing? Because I saw you did one of the big highlights early on, like when you signed up, was just breaking that 25 minutes at over 5K, and then getting down to under 20 at your park run. So I guess getting involved in the park run scene. But yeah, how were you learning about the sport?
Yeah, so obviously, you have blokes at work, and a couple of them were runners, and run, and you kind of just you hear conversations, and it grows from that. But yeah, there's a local fun run on the Central Coast, Beta Bay, and I've kind of always growing up on the Central Coast, I'd seen it every year, and I thought I'll have a crack, and that was, I guess, the catalyst to start running. And then yeah, funny enough, a bit of banter at work. I had two blokes go, "What, you're not running 25 minutes for 5K?" And it kind of lit a fire. So yeah, it's a funny story, that one. But yeah, that was it. And then obviously with running, when you start out, like anything, you see progression quite quickly. before you hit that plateau. And I was just driven by the progress that I was making.
Mate, is it the progress that you've made in such a short period of time, has that taken you by surprise a little bit?
Yeah, no. I sit back and I'm a part of a running group, and a lot of the guys I kind of I wouldn't say mentor because I'm quite young and stuff, but I like kind of having a chat and trying to bring them up, because they're at where I was maybe 2 years ago. Yeah, just sticking with it, and I see potential in a lot of my running mates that, I see myself in them a couple of years ago. But yeah, I guess just having that goal and moving the goalpost once you achieve it, that's been the driving factor.
Is that the Woi Woi Runners group that you're a part of?
Yeah, mate, it is, yeah.
Yeah, it looks like a big crew you got there, and you formed a lot of friendships, and that I suppose has helped in terms of, I guess, starting the sport on your own and then finding a bit of a community.
Yeah. I think we recently hit 500 members on Facebook.
Wow.
So
Oh, wow. Yeah.
it's an awesome community. It's predominantly, a park run based community. You see one or two blue singlets one weekend, and now they're everywhere. They dominate, the Woi Woi park run scene. So it's awesome. It's a way to kind of I've met a lot of people and gained a lot of friendships from that group. Everyone talks about running being an individual sport, but I very much disagree because the community around park run and the Woi Woi runners is kind of what's driven my passion and increased my passion for the sport.
It's pretty cool when you've got a group like that where you're almost going for the social aspect of it as much as you are actually getting out there and doing a run as well. Like the kilometers must absolutely fly by when you're surrounded by, people that you would, I guess, consider your running family.
Yeah. Well, park run definitely in the last 2 months since starting with Brady, it's been that community thing because I'm not going out and flogging myself for 5K every week. It's become an easy run, so it's I can enjoy it and have a chat and run with some of the guys without going out and trying to hit a PB every week.
How are you going fitting training in as well? I see you work in trade in a fitter. Are you still in the industry, well, water and sewer industry? Probably, is that a pretty physical job you're involved in?
Yeah, so on the local council as a fitter machinist, currently in a coordinator role, so kind of semi off the tools. But yeah, like I won't use that as an excuse. This week currently I've been acting up in a team leader role, and I think sitting behind a computer and answering phone calls all day is probably more so tiring than actually being on the tools. So yeah, I think I'm definitely not a morning runner. I do my sessions at 4 o'clock in the peak of the heat, which is becoming quite difficult now that my sessions are actually structured. And doing them in, I think I've done one last week or this week actually, Tuesday in 37. I don't know what it was. It was mid-30s, but it was tough after a full day of work. And then going around and running around a grass track in the midday heat. So.
And kids in there and everything else. So you're a busy man.
Yeah, I try to fit it in. I feel better for running. Obviously it is taxing at times. Doing the Sunday morning run I may miss morning breakfast on the Sunday with the kids, but it's it creates the opportunity to go away. So you mentioned the treble in the intro, and I took my family away, Port Macquarie, and had a few days away. And I was able to, enjoy the weekend away with the family whilst doing an event. So I think that will become a staple in the future. That might get it over the line with the wife.
Good selling point. But I mean, like you mentioned, you as a role model, what you're doing there is amazing, but also how you've got yourself into shape. You lost, I think you say you lost nearly 30 kilos. from when you were in your 20s to obviously into your kickboxing and now running, but you've sort of changed your lifestyle and running's now a big part of that.
So my social media tags actually former fat kid, you would have seen. So yeah, I was always the big, morbidly obese child, and I kind of took that into my early 20s, and I can't pinpoint. I've thought about it. I've sat down, but one day I just thought, you know what, I'm going to get healthy. So I invested money in, the shoes and the clothes and the diet, and I lost a lot of weight pretty quick, and then I just kind of maintained it through kickboxing. But funny enough, the day one I started, I went for a run, and I ran from one driveway to the next, and then I'd stop and I'd walk to the next. And that was my first run as an adult at 22 years of age. And then obviously I transitioned and started kickboxing, and then I've come back to running. But yeah, I still remember that day where I couldn't run 20 meters without stopping. So
And then you pull a five and a 10.5 in one go, one day.
that's it.
Crazy.
I say, when you first sort of went for those first initial runs and got into the kickboxing, mate, what were some of the harder challenges that come to mind, and how were you able to just keep chipping away? Because there's so many people out there in society in general that they've given it a go to try and shed a bit of weight or get a bit healthier, and obviously they've hit a few roadblocks and gone, fuck, this is hard, I can't do it. But what sort of ways, or how were you able just to beat it and get to the point now where you've run a marathon, you're in the best shape of your life, you got two little kids that you're setting a cracking example for? But how did you overcome those initial, because it's not, like you said, it's not like you just put the shoes on and bang, you went out and rolled 20K and thought, oh, this is easy. It's like,
I think kickboxing and that ego part of it helped a lot. Obviously, at 22 or 23, whenever I started, it wasn't the first time I attempted it. Multiple failed attempts at dieting and trying to get healthy. But I think I had a mate in that was doing kick or Muay Thai at the time, and I went along to a class, and you have this perspective of yourself, my background and where I come from, and then you go in and you go to a gym and you pretty much get bashed. It's a very, very big incentive and a big ego check. And I was a fan of the sport. I was a fan of, the UFC and mixed martial arts, and I enjoyed learning and getting fit, so it kept me motivated. But it's just finding that, that thing that motivates you. And for me, I didn't like getting bashed. I'd go into the gym and people half my size would tear me up. So
Mate, fear is a very powerful motivator. I know fear helps me run faster in the dark. So yeah, that's I look I it's nice to hear different people's perspectives of it, because I guess different people overcome challenges different ways. So I think it's great that you had the support of a mate to begin with to sort of get you along, and you're enjoying that aspect of it. And I think you now, like, you're obviously seeing how positive and powerful that is with the Woi Woi group as well, and just how that sense of community can really help people. But to see how you've pushed on, the fact that you ran a marathon last year in Sydney, and I believe also there's another marathon in the works as well.
So I'm gonna, funny enough, the Sydney Marathon was a bit of a 2-day notice, collect a
Very
bib
spur
from,
at the moment.
so one of the members got injured, and he put it up on the social group. Anyone want a ticket? And I said, why not? So I hadn't tapered, and I thought I'll go down, I'll experience it. I hadn't run the distance. I had done the treble last year, but a bit different. But I thought, I'll, what is there to lose? So I'll just go down and enjoy it, and kind of tick the bucket list. I definitely didn't race it. I didn't. You hear about people saying you got to, what's the word? Anyway, like the marathon isn't something to take lightly. And I think I probably did that, thinking, oh, I'll just jog it for, I'll jog around at 5.5 minute pace. It was very easy until it wasn't. And then I reflected and thought, geez, that was a lot harder than I expected. But yeah, so I'm gonna hopefully have a crack this year, and actually take some learnings and things that I've learnt, and see if I can take a big chunk of time out of that.
Well, so speaking of those learnings, you've been able to spend some time with a great man. You've had Brady on board for the last couple of months. What are some of the key learnings that you've picked up in the last little while from him?
Yeah, so obviously it's only early days, but I've been a big fan of Brady's podcast. But yeah, it's just the consistency, and having that di different perspective, is a big thing, because prior to kind of Brady helping me out, I was, like most people, jump on YouTube and Google sessions, and I was doing sessions without knowing why I was doing them. So just, yeah, having that bit of refinement. There's sessions that I look at that I think, oh, that's going to be easy, and it is easy. And there's sessions that I look at thinking it's hard, ends up being easy, and vice versa. There's sessions that go out and I feel like I'm done halfway through, which at the start of the session I would have thought I'd kill it. So, yeah, just a learning. Obviously, it's fairly early days, but just great having someone to bounce stuff off. So
Hey, mate, before we jump into the quick questions, I just want to touch on, I know we've mentioned it in the intro, it's come up a couple of times, the treble, Fort Mac, early March, 3rd of March. I remember when results, we share the results in a coach's chat before it goes out onto our socials. The coaches drop in the results, and I'd seen your name pop up from Brady, and he put like three events and the times, and I was like, hang on, you got this right? The guys run the three races in a morning. And then he said it was a thing, and it was a thing, it's a treble. But you covered 36K at 420s, but you've rolled a 5, a 10.5. Amazing achievement. You finished 12th in that event. Take us to that day, mate. Negative split, I see. Big achievement.
So to talk about, I think it was 2 weeks ago on Sunday. So to talk about that one, I'd take you back to last year where I'd done it for the first time. Previously, I hadn't run anywhere near the distance. I think my longest run at the time was 27K. Hadn't raced a half. I'd ran a half in a long run, but that was about it. And absolutely buckled myself. I put myself in a hole. I remember walking from the finish line to the chemist and said, "Help me." Just all sorts. I'd watched the World Cross, and seen, I think it was G'day, all these people collapse at the, and I'm think sitting there thinking, what's wrong with these people? Like it's the finish line's just there, and then it happened to me. So I was like, I definitely kind of, learnt my lesson. So yeah, when I come up, it was a bit of redemption this year. So I had a bit of a plan. Yeah, I wanted to negative split. I definitely didn't want to hit a wall. So I was just, I won't say conservative. I think I just had a bit of a smarter approach this year. And with the marathon coming up, I used it as a bit of a training, kind of where I was at in fitness. And obviously I've learned a lot with nutrition, and so a negative split on the day, ended up 12th overall. But the biggest takeaway from it was the after the like the race, post race, I was able to pretty much go for a walk, get ice cream, do all the things you do after a normal long run, where last year I was done. And that was our holiday. I'd kind of put myself in that bad of a hole that, my family's laying up in a holiday in a hotel room because I was in that much pain. So that was the biggest takeaway. I took a big chunk of time out, but the feeling after the race and how I pulled up afterwards was the biggest change.
Yeah, great signs leading into the marathon prep for Sydney.
Yeah, yep, that's it.
Chris, so we fire some quick questions, medium quick questions.
Yeah, so it's more like a long run, well, maybe a threshy, some threshy questions. Jamie mentioned that he has listened to an episode, so I'm not sure if he's got in or heard. Just go through the quick questions before, so these might be completely fresh for you, mate. If not, I will change a couple up just to keep you on your toes. Start with a couple of easy ones. What sort of watch have you got? Your Garmin, Chorus, an
Funny
Apple?
enough, I started with a Garmin.
Yeah.
I went to a cellular Apple Watch when I think my wife was pregnant. I thought, I'm sick of carrying the phone, so I want
Yeah.
that cellular watch.
Smart, yeah.
But when I do my sessions and pretty much all runs leading up to the treble, because I was tracking kind of where I was at, I double watch. So I got the cellular for the contact,
Oh, double.
yeah, and then the Garmin on the right-hand wrist. So you can't beat Garmin, but my day-to-day watch is a cellular Apple Watch.
Yeah, that's the first time there, I reckon, we've had a double, Chriso. Someone doing sessions or runs with a double.
It is. So come race day in Sydney, mate, will you rock the double for that, or will you sort of just go with a one?
Well, funny enough, I went, I'd probably go double again, but
Yeah.
yeah, last year I had my earpods linked to my watch, and the Apple Watch battery is like worthless. It's not worth it. Yeah. So I was on the train ride home listening to me my cramps in my legs. There was no
Oh no.
dead watch. But yeah,
Yeah.
the Garmin, mate. If Garmin had a cellular watch, it'd be a no-brainer. And no lap button on the Apples.
Yeah, true.
It's
Yeah.
no good.
That Apple's got some great features. It's just not a running watch.
No. I use it as a lifestyle watch.
Yeah.
But when it comes to running and having that lap button and then the sessions programmed and stuff, you can't beat the Garmin.
Zachary, I feel like we should be taking a selection of comments about the positive feedback we get about Garmin and just sending it to them
Send it over to
on
Tim.
behalf of the
Hey,
show.
Tim. Yeah.
Hey,
See if we get a
mate,
clean one.
anything's worth a go. Jamie, iPhone or Android? You're a big Apple man. Are you rocking the iPhone as well?
Yeah, so funny enough, I transitioned from the Android to the Apple Watch and the watch, sorry, the iPhone and the Apple Watch come with it. So, currently an iPhone.
Very good. As you've gotten more into the longer distances, mate, you started to use a few different gels as well, yeah?
Recently, yeah,
Yeah.
definitely.
You got a favorite go-to gel that you use?
Yeah, Precision, mate. So
Cool.
yeah, no, nothing else kind of sits well.
Yeah, what do you love about? Is it the flavor, just the fact that it doesn't repeat on itself?
Up until recently, I was using like pretty much the Winners, I think they called from Coles, and they were a punish.
Mate, I think there's an unofficial runner's starting pack that I think everyone seems to get that it's like a pair of Brooks Adrenalines or Brooks Ghosts or maybe something, a bit of ASICS gel Kayanos. It's a six pack of Winners gels and some cotton socks. So it sounds like you've had the Winners gels experience.
Yeah,
You've
graduated.
graduated to the Precision, which I'm very excited to hear about that. So
You got the
that's
big couch one, the big 90, was it 90 grammer? I know
yeah, the
they've got
one, yeah.
one with the resealable pouch.
Nah, I just run the 60. So I got them leading up to Port to try them. And I had I think it's the pH 1500 like sodium tablet mix. The chews, like I went all out because I knew how bad I felt last year, so I wanted to make sure that I got on enough fluids and enough carbs to kind of support my muscles breaking down. So yeah, I can't fold them. Yeah, like chalk and cheese when you're comparing them to the Winners. I'd probably have one now if, yeah, like yeah, have it as a snack. The chews are awesome.
not chomping or putting a bit of the Winners gel on a bit of vanilla ice cream or anything like
Nah, mate, nah.
that? No. No, all good. Hey, one piece of advice for 18-year-old Jamie.
For like fitness, running,
Mate,
or
oh, just anything. Just if you could go back and tell your younger self something that you reckon he'd appreciate, what would you go and tell him?
Invest in Bitcoin or get into earlier. Something financial, surely.
Oh, I love that. Like, you're the only person who's come up so far with something like that. Usually it's like a sage bit of wisdom, but I like that. That's a man who knows his
Bitcoin was
business.
probably about $5 back then.
Oh, probably less, yeah.
Mate, if you invested in Bitcoin, then we'd be getting on your podcast.
I
You'd be on a
wouldn't,
yacht somewhere,
yeah, I wouldn't be doing a
I
podcast.
reckon.
Oh, hey, say if the Bitcoin had paid off for 18-year-old Jamie and you then had the chance to do any race in the world, where would you go? What would you do? Is there anything that currently takes your fancy, mate?
To be honest, not really. Like, obviously, I'd love to be able to travel the world and do the majors. I'm only fairly young in the marathon scene, with one under my belt, half one if you call it an attempt. But yeah, I'd love to just venture out and run. There's some spectacular places. I think we have a cracker event at, in Sydney, Lubbock
Even
and stuff, but
somewhere you'd like to take the family as a bit of a holiday and make that a running holiday. Is there anywhere you've got in mind? Brady's paying, open checkbook.
to be honest, no. I'd love to go over, like, obviously something that pops to mind is like Osaka, but like that's obviously recent, so it's in my mind, but I'd love to go over and experience Japan and the culture over there. Maybe not with a couple of young kids because I've heard that's a bad idea, but yeah, I'd
You
definitely
got the
love to go
sell
over
your phone, mate. You're right.
there.
Watch.
Mate, you mentioned before you don't mind celebrating with an ice cream. What's the favorite flavor? What's the go-to?
I'm a sucker for Maxi Bonds and Golden
Oh.
K times, anything that's chocolate, mate.
Yeah.
I'm still very much a fat kid at heart, so
Mate.
I'd probably drop another 10 kilos if I ate properly.
That's why I run, so that I can eat as much or as much garbage as I get away with.
That's it, mate.
What's your post long run sort of go to? Like, how do you recover from a long run? What are we putting into the system first?
Like I've got a bit of a gym background. Like I was going to the gym with Muay Thai and kind of that transition. So I was, yeah, like amino acids and bits of like bits and pieces. But like in terms of a feed, mate, there's nothing really that I'd kind of pig out on. It's whatever makes the family happy.
So that's like, it's, you're not sort of like, oh, hey, I love having a Gatorade or a chocolate milk or just pump me full of cold water or.
Nah, it's pretty much just like the amino acids. Kind of get that and rehydrate. Yeah, but I don't have a set meal or a set kind of routine. Depends on how the long run goes. It might be an ice bath.
No, especially if you're out there running in the afternoon as well.
Yeah, I try to get out my long runs. I try to get in the morning, especially lately because of the heat. But yeah, it's depends on how it goes. Depends how fit I am at the time and how fast I run.
That's all right. Tell us about your shoes, mate. Do you have, like, what are your favorite shoes for easy days and then again for races or your sessions?
Yeah, so funny enough, like within the Woi Woi Runners, I'm kind of known as the shoe geek, I guess. Guru. I've
Nice.
got a few guys in the carbons. So yeah, I went, so you mentioned like the ghost shoes in that package when you start, but I went the pegs, like the Pegasus. I think they were 38s at the time. I was very much Nike. Everything was Nike at the start, so the Invincible Twos from the pegs, and then but I fell in love with the original Alphafly ones. I've recently got a second pair. They're definitely my go-to race shoe. I've tried the Vaporfly Twos and the Alphafly Twos. But yeah, I jumped when they restocked the originals. I jumped on and bought a pair or two. But yeah, easy day. I'm currently running in the Monster, and the New Balance More V4s. I think they are for the more cushion. I'm a sucker for cushion, so.
So it's another one for the cloud monster, Zaka. I think it's nearly every fortnight we've got someone that comes on and tells us how much they love that shoe.
Yeah, to be fair, I hated it when I first put it on.
Yeah.
And I still get blisters. I think it's a very niche shoe for me.
Yeah.
The long run of when the Invincibles or the Morvee 4 is too heavy, too cushiony. That's when I go to the Monster. But if I'm just going for like a 30-minute run or a 40-minute run, like I'd love that, the Invincible or the Morvee 4 cushion.
With the I suppose, look, there seems to be a new amazing shoe released every 2 or 3 months at the moment. But are you tempted? Like, I know you love the Vapor or the Alphafly ones, but is there any sort of temptation to sort of have a look at some of the newer stuff that's come
Every time there's a new shoe release,
out?
I'm banned. I think I'm starting to get them sent to a friend's house. That's bad. My shoe rack's it's shocking. It's my wife. She's banned me from buying any more shoes, but I can't help it, mate. I kind of love it. And I mentioned before, I think before it started, that the when I dive into something, I'm kind of I dive right in. So shoes, they say running's cheap. It's definitely not cheap when you buy six or seven pair of shoes a year.
No, I think if you, one trick I've sort of tried to pass on to some of my athletes is if you break it down as a price per kilometer, it actually works out quite cheap. And it still is a very cheap sport, no matter how many pairs of shoes you purchase, so long as you can break it down to something like that and then equate it back to a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Once you've done that, hopefully, and look, if you get kicked out of the house or the locks changed, I take no responsibility. But
Yeah, that's
that's a
pay for it
I
on
have my
that.
shoes. Little pro tip. If you break it down into a small amount, you might nearly sneak an extra pair or two at sales time.
Yeah, no, I try to explain there's easy days, there's recovery days, there's race days, but there's different race events. So there's your five and your half and the marathon, and they all require something a bit different. So, but
Mate,
what's a small price for, fitness and enjoyment?
you're just investing in your own health, and
That's it.
that's all. Or you couldn't ask for anything more, really.
I'll get her to listen to this after, so she's on
We
board.
might have to edit some of it out. Track, road, or trails. Where do you prefer to run most? Or you can like rank those three in order.
I haven't really done much on the track. I've only been on a synthetic track once, and that was a 5K hit out last year. So it's hard to say track. I know I do my sessions in a on a grass track, a local grass track. So they'd have to be probably three. I love the trails. I don't get on them very much. But I've become to love the trails, just the gravel and not pounding on the cement. But the fun runs and the park run, if you class road as, your park run footpaths and stuff like that, that's what got me into the sport. It's what's kind of kept me on in the sport. So that'd have to be one. So I'd say, yeah, probably road, trail, and then track.
Yeah. Let's pretend injuries aren't a thing.
Yep.
We know they are, and that's why we try to balance our running as best we can. But injuries aren't a thing here, mate. If you could just choose one aspect of running to do every day as part of your running, would it be the long run? Would you be doing sessions every day, or is it the easy running that you enjoy most?
Probably the sessions, to be honest. I started out, everything was kind of hard, as a lot of people do. I'm not a big fan of long runs, just because they're my Achilles heel, and that's what I've kind of spent a lot of time building. But I can go out and bang 400s around the grass track all day every day, but I do a 90-minute or a 2-hour run, and I'm in the ice bath. So.
Is part of that sort of link you back to some of that adrenaline you may have felt back in your fighting days, where your kickboxing sort of sparring days?
I don't know, to be honest. I just don't think I've built, obviously being only running for, 2 years, and mind you, before that I was quite overweight and a lot of physical activity through my childhood. Bar rugby league when I was younger wasn't a thing, so I kind of didn't I guess develop, you know, the muscles that the endurance of running long takes. But yeah, I was always kind of quick, even when I was a big boy, quick off the mark. So them short, sharp, like intervals is kind of what suits me. I've never had a crack at a 400 or an 800 or anything like that, but I enjoy kind of running fast for a short amount of time. As long as I get the correct recovery time in the middle, I'm fine.
No, that's all right. So let's say you're head coach of the Woi Woi Runners for Saturday morning. So parkrun's been cancelled and you've been drafted in as coach, mate. What session are you going to take? What's a go-to session that you'd give the team down there?
I think the staple, mate, the 400s, 400 yeah. off a minute, 15, 400s. I actually I had a bit of a running group last year that I was kind of building sessions for and, bringing some of the guys that hadn't been exposed to kind of fartlek and sessions and kind of this is what we're going to do today and explaining the session. And it was good. I was playing coach for a little bit there without knowing anything. put my coach hat on, but it was just like obviously building that community. It was nothing, you know, serious, nothing too hard, but it was just good seeing, you know, the ages range from, you know, 18, 17 to 70 and 80 within the group. So it's great seeing a 15-year-old kid run alongside a 6-year-old man doing a 400 interval. It's
that's cool.
Oh, I love that. Hey mate, last one from me. If you could eat one meal for the rest of your life, what would it be? So we're talking breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Look, if it's precision stuff, I don't care.
I don't know if I'd go that far. with no weight gain repercussions.
No repercussions. I mean, obviously you've got to deal with it out on the run, but like breakfast, lunch and dinner, and you can make subtle little tweaks to it. But what's the favorite? What are we planning?
I'm a sucker for a good burger. I think I could eat that.
Yeah.
Three meals a day.
Oh, talk to me. What's in our burger?
Well, I'm very indecisive when it comes to burgers. So me and my wife kind of get a chicken burger and a beef burger and split it in majority of the time. So that southern fried chicken kind of coleslaw burger and then, you know, your standard cheeseburger, as long as it's, you know, well cooked to the correct meat. None of this tuck shop stuff.
No, that's all right. Now, are you whipping this up yourselves? So like that real nice sort of homemade stuff, or have you got a go-to place that you go?
Mate, I'm a shocking cook. We don't cook very well. I won't put my hand up and say, that's one of our fortes. But funny enough, a local shop that's probably two streets away have just recently opened up, and funny enough, their burgers are pretty good. They're cracker. So it's too easy to just go down and get takeaway.
Mate, that sounds like post long run recovery to me.
Yeah, post pre the whole lot.
Hey, before we let you go, I thought, Chris, there's one question on here I wouldn't mind hearing. Jamie, favorite Aussie athlete, male or female? Because I know you're a big fan of Inside Running Podcast. You've been following the sport now, but I'd be curious to hear at the moment who you're loving.
Funny enough, there was an Instagram post, and I think I tagged Brady in it. Back in the day, but
as in Brady was your favorite athlete?
Oh, I think I just done it for the kicks. I tagged him, pump up his ego a bit. But yeah, now in the running scene, like you can't go past, and everyone's gonna say it, like Cam Myers at the moment, what he done to Jake Whiteman and stuff like that. Like that's pretty inspiring for a young bloke. But yeah, I'm fairly new fan of the sport. But I'm just enjoying kind of watching the grassroots as well as the majors. I get as much satisfaction out of watching the Vic Milers and the Bankstown meets than I do watching, you know, Kipchoge run the 206 and everyone.
Yeah, love that. Been awesome, mate. It's been really, really interesting hearing about your running journey. I know when Me and Chris were looking at your sign up form before we went on air. We thought, yeah, this is going to be an interesting chat to unpack this, knowing what you've done in such a short amount of time. And thank you again, mate. It's been really, really interesting, and we wish you well over the build for Sydney.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. It's been good.
Thanks,
Thanks,
mate.
mate. Take care. How good was that, Chris? I mean, I know we come back nearly every time after these interviews, because I think when we started this, we really wanted to learn more about the community and our athletes and how they're going out there. And we put the results up. I know we've said this before, but we see the names, we see the time, but we don't really understand the context. And hearing Jamie's story and what he's achieved, I think you were just saying how, like, that age to turn things around physically, and a lifestyle change, it's really cool.
Yeah, I think we're saying like when in your early 20s, we don't typically invest a lot of time in ourselves. It's sort of that social aspect more, like it's partying, it's not eating super well, it's late nights, it's probably doing things with not a lot of foresight. So yeah, I just take my hat off to Jamie and what he's been able to do. And he's dropped the best part of 30 kilos. And like, could you let's put yourself in Jamie's shoes and think, like, could you imagine going in and giving kickboxing or a bit of Muay Thai, a bit of a go? Like, mate, I'd just be petrified that something was going to collapse, whether my legs are going to buckle out from under me, my spine would fall out of my bum, or who knows. But for him to get in there and give that a crack, and you look at how his running's progressed, the sky's the
Even
limit for him.
the way he talked about those first runs,
Yeah,
and
yep.
out the driveway,
Driveway
stopping.
to driveway.
It gives, people are wanting to start that, there is a framework there. It is possible, and what he's doing now, he's going to head to Sydney in the shape of his life and give it a red hot crack. And what he's already achieved, that sub 20, sub 40, he's absolutely killing it.
So we've got a few run to PB athletes in the, sort of that Sydney area with Porsche Olsen and Ryan Cook, Benji Hoppett. So the run to PB community is picking up steam up there in New South Wales, not just in Melbourne now, mate. We're spreading.
Oh yes, quite a few up there. Hey mate, before we clock off for this Friday night, we've probably made it about Andy and Jamie, a little bit less about us this episode, only because we've had a busy week off the track, both of us. A few social engagements, hence the late recording. Running wise, mate, how are you tracking?
So conscious that it's after 9 o'clock, so this could turn to dribble. But like last week was essentially, it's funny. So I guess it was classed as a bit of a recovery week coming off the 10K effort at Bendigo. So it was mostly easy Ks, but I end up running 82K for the week. So like nothing sexy about any of it. It was just easy Ks. Day after day after day. I did put a few, on the Sunday, it was like a handful of 3 minute efforts in there just to turn the legs over and give the lungs a bit of a clean out. But yeah, 82 Ks, body's feeling all right. I've got a bit of tightness in my right hip, but I'm managing that just through some strength work and sort of myotherapy treatment. So nothing to be concerned about. But yeah, I think I feel like I'm. I don't know. I don't want to say I'm getting fitter because, yeah, I'm not killing it. But yeah, like I'm just ticking it over. I'm not shooting the lights out, but we're still going.
Yeah, just what does Desi say? Keep showing up.
Yeah, keep showing up. That's what we're doing. We're showing up. We're not showing out much, but we're definitely showing up. So I'm hopeful that if, look, I would like to be able to put together sort of 4 or 6 weeks now because, I'm much chest. And my breathing feels good. So I'm hopeful that I can put 4 or 6 weeks together that are all right. So around that sort of 80 to 90K mark, get a weekly session in there, make sure the long run's good, and hopefully sort of start the XCR season feeling all right and just build from there. But we'll wait and see. I'm thinking, like, what if there's going to be some other races I'm going to do outside of XCR? I sure as hell need to enter them because there's not a lot of options. Like, everything's pretty much sold out at Melbourne, and we're talking about going to Gold Coast maybe, and there's only the 10K left there. So yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do, but yeah, hopefully I can put together a good 4 or 6 weeks from here and just see what happens.
If well, nearly every listener will be following on Strava, but I won't go into some of the titles going on in your Strava at the moment, some interesting ones. And also, people should head over and see a image that you posted regarding a lost that wasn't lost.
I should
Cryptic,
talk.
but
No,
worth maybe giving you a follow and reading about that.
I'll give that a minute because I reckon it's worth it. So, myself and Anna, we were running on Tuesday. Anna's got her head torch on. Bless her. This is great. And this car very, very slowly drives over to us. And they've got the passenger window down, and Anna sticks her head in with a head torch in like a police officer. Whether she blinded the old lady that was driving. But anyway, this poor lady was absolutely beside herself. Bless her. I'd say she was in her early 60s, and the poor dear, she'd lost her dog, Ollie. And Ollie's a Chihuahua. He's black. So and mind you, we're running quite early and it was dark. It was dark, dark. And I don't know how you would see a black chihuahua running around in a pitch black dark, but poor lady, she told us that she'd been out all night and had seen no sign of Ollie. It'd been hours, and she was just asking if perhaps on our lap of Kyala that we might keep an eye out for Ollie, and that if we did find him, that if we could pick him up and please give. There's a message on the Facebook page of the local residents group that we could give her a call on, and she'd come and pick him up wherever we are. And I'm thinking, like, mate, I'm wearing my good Ernie old top. I'm not picking the dog up. I'm not ripping my top. But anyway, we did keep an eye out for Ollie, and whilst we did see a golden retriever, one of our, well, we're not sure who this guy is, but if you're a fan of Kath and Kim, he's got a dog that's a splitting image of Cujo, and we see him most runs. But he may have eaten the Chihuahua, but poor Ollie. But no, there was no Ollie anyway. We didn't find Ollie anyway. I get a bit of a message a couple of hours later, and there'd been an update in the Facebook group. So it turns out Ollie wasn't so lost. That whilst Ollie's owner was out looking for him on the streets of Kyala for all hours of the night into the wee hours of the morning, and as the sun came up, Ollie, the black chihuahua, had been locked in the kitchen cupboard for the whole night and chowing down on its contents and had not given a peep for the whole time that he was in there. So Ollie was very well fed, and I'm not sure about you, Zaka, but my recollection of chihuahuas, they're pretty yappy. They make a fair bit of noise. I'm just wondering what was going on in that house. They couldn't hear that little dog scratching around in the kitchen cupboard.
So he jumped in the cupboard, shut himself in there, and just chowed down on the food.
He'd be the roundest
Quietly, though,
chihuahua.
apparently.
Deathly quiet, but thankfully for all concerned, Ollie was found, crisis averted. But and they did put a bit of a thank you out because I believe they did ask half of Kyala while they're out and about to look
Everyone
for
stopped looking for Ollie.
poor little dog. But no, Ollie has been safely found.
Shout out to Ollie if he's
Shout
listening.
out to Ollie if he's listening.
Good
What about
stuff.
your week, mate? Did you find any dogs on your loop
Didn't
or
find any dogs, mate.
no?
I still got some K's in. I actually took a bit of a just nursing this ITB. So I thought it was a good time with the long weekend just to peel back. And I did a workout last Saturday, and it actually was pretty good through it. Pulled up a little bit sore after, and then I was kind of fine by the afternoon. But then I'd actually was going away. It's scheduled Saturday or Sunday, just to like, I'm just going to take this off, take a rest day. That turned into Monday as well. I just didn't came back late. I was like, let's try 2 days off. and see if it helps. And it probably did. Back rolling again with some easy running, and I'll do a workout on Sunday. So it's probably just a bit of a circuit breaker move, just to like pretty busy with external stuff when I work wise and sitting down a lot. So maybe I was just like, the body just needed to recuperate, you know. So we'll try again this weekend. We'll get back into a bit of a routine and hopefully back on the horse.
No, I hope I want you to be out there pain free, mate. You've been working so bloody hard. I don't want to see this ITV get any worse.
Yeah. No, it is it's on top of it. We hit the roller pretty hard. Back hitting the gym. So I think it's just a little blip, but we'll get another couple of weeks build going and then go from there.
Might
be longer for XCR.
Maybe a stand-up desk. We could do that as a work expense.
I know. I probably should. I do try to stand a bit more these days. I try to move around every hour, but it's hard. Sometimes you just get stuck and you're rolling. And but that's okay. We'll carry on, mate. Next week, we will have a guest work hard on this one.
I'm going to say next week's nearly here already.
I know. It'll be it'll be a quick turnaround, but that'll be cool. We'll be back. Will be some other news to chat about. No doubt there's a lot of we've got run for the kids this weekend. So whilst we had a lot of results come through last week, I'll pull together results for Monday. But between the last 2 weeks, and we had Tiger 5 in there, there was some overseas races that came through. Yeah, it was a bunch of stuff. So I know Run for the Kids, stack of runners going around. So that'll be cool to chat about. And
No, Run for the Kids. I've got one of my athletes there, and also Wangaratta Fun Run on this weekend too. So I've got maybe four or five heading over there too. So, mate, this when we get the socials with all the results, it could be a 3 or 4 pager.
Yeah, I think we've got to put Bendigo results in there and few results from last week to cover. So yes, keep your eye out for a jumbo post.
No, looking forward to that.
Good stuff, mate. It's been fun. We'll be back for another episode in a few days.
Sounds good. We'll chat soon.
Hey, mate.